ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, here's a tease for this segment. Aren't you supposed to do it before the break?
That's what we were told.
But this is, I'm going to do things differently, try and
shake things
change,
up.
I'm going to change up the business.
Okay.
So, let me ask you this. Are the Astros, how good are the Astros if Miles Straw is their leadoff hitter?
He can still be good. What do you mean?
No, I think if Miles Straw.
He's on this Miles Straw thing now.
If Miles Straw can hit 260, get on base. His on-base percentage, 350, let's say, or more. Stealing, he says he can steal 50 bases, 50 to 60 bases.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do that, now look at the rest of the lineup. I'm looking at a projected lineup by Andrew Glanzer. Look at this. You've got Altuve second, Brantley third, Bregman fourth, Yordan fifth, Carlos sixth, Tucker seventh, Yuli eighth, Maldonado ninth.
Sounds like the same lineup from 2 years ago, only without George Springer.
It does, and it sounds like it's awesome. When you're batting Carlos sixth, Tucker seventh.
So you definitely are less at center field. The question is going to be, can Altuve get back
you're
a little
different,
bit?
Different, but you've got a table setter as opposed to Springer.
That's,
I mean, you don't
table
have
setter pop. Such. I mean, the Astros would never even say something like that. George is going to get on more than – George's on-base percentage is going to be higher than Miles Straw.
We'll
George
see.
George is the table setter.
We'll see. No,
yeah, he's – I mean, George is a $25 million player.
Well, he's a $25 million player in large part because he drives the ball. He's a different, totally different kind of leadoff.
But he gets on base because he gets hits.
Yeah.
He's a talented player. There's no way Miles Straw's going to have the same on-base percentage. Unless he's a much better hitter than I expect.
Well, there are slappies that actually – he's a career 361. He's George.
Right.
359, 383. It's not like Miles Straw can't get on base 300 at a 350 clip. That's not. There's slappy hitters that get on base. He can do that. He can absolutely
we'll see.
Do that.
He hasn't.
No, he hasn't done it yet. But it's not the, like there's a lot of hitters that hit that are on base 350.
But I'm saying this table setter thing against a guy who is
as opposed to a guy who drives the ball. I mean,
I like those guys better.
No, Lance, but that's not an option. I mean, I'm not talking about that. You got Miles Straw now. You don't have George Springer anymore. That's over. So this is a different deal. But if Miles Straw can actually lead off for you. When you're talking about Tucker, when you're talking about Correa sixth, Tucker seventh, Yuli eighth, I mean, you want to talk about a lineup.
I'm going to flip it up on you. I'm going to say, why don't you do the same thing you did before and put Tucker first? Lead off with Tucker, who, by the way, can also run a little bit. Why not lead Tucker off, who's got pop, who has some speed on the base pass? What about leading him off? Because the concept is an analytics concept to get more at-bats for those types of players.
Right.
George is an energy player. He wasn't very good on the base pass, frankly, when it came to stealing bases. He was terrible. Got picked off way too much. He was an active base runner. Kyle Tucker is actually faster. I don't think it's crazy to think Kyle Tucker. You leave everything else unchanged, you move Miles Straw to the back, and then you bring Kyle Tucker up. I don't think that's crazy.
Well, and if you were to do that, I'd put Miles Straw last.
Yeah.
So that he would turn the lineup over.
Absolutely.
No, I don't have any problem with that. But I don't think that's in Dusty's. I don't even think that's in his mind.
Well, that might be a James.
Well, here's
Clicker,
the deal
Jeff
though.
Lanothan.
Here's the deal though. Straw's hitting right now. He started spring training.
And maybe he's going to be a good hitter.
Well, maybe he is.
Or maybe he's going to be Bob Dernier.
Well, we don't know. Bobby Dunier was a great leadoff hitter for a while. Are you kidding
me? He was
me?
A fast guy. He was not a great hitter.
He was a great leadoff guy.
I love Bobby Dunier. He was a good when speed mattered and stolen bases mattered. Bobby was great.
Bobby was.
And he had Ryan, you know, the daily double with Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah,
was my favorite. But Bob Dunier was not a great hitter, though.
Yeah, no, not a great hitter, but he was a really, really good leadoff man because at that time, leadoff hitters, that's what they did. Yeah, I mean, he was a career 318 on base guy, but he set the table for those Cubs teams. He was a really good leadoff hitter for those teams for a while. Anyway, but if Miles Straw hits, he's going to stay at the top of the lineup. If he doesn't hit, he ain't. He'll go to last, and then I like Tucker at the top. Quite frankly, I like Bregman at the top. You get him the most at bats on the team, and he's an on base guy. He's a guy who drives the ball like Springer did. I've been a pro. He's good on the base paths.
Why would you be anti George and pro Bregman in the?
Well, if you're going to do that, then if that's what you did. Then Bregman makes sense now, replacing him with that as opposed to Miles Straw.
I think you do want an RBI producer. Like, I like Bregman where he is. To me, I want a guy who is. I mean, if you're gonna have that, I mean, Tucker, and I just thought of it today. Tucker actually makes sense because he can run.
Yeah,
it's not like they're gonna steal a bunch of bases.
I'm not opposed to that. I do think Dusty is going old school. I do think Dusty is going to give Miles Straw a chance.
Well,
now, here's what I'm saying is if Miles Straw does, if he's on base 350, if he's stealing 50 bases, wow, you change the lineup in because you got a guy at the top of the order that's actually producing. You know, when you lost George Springer, but you replaced him with a guy that is actually producing and doing a nice job, and you still got this lineup. Man, Lance, if Tucker's batting seventh, where does it let up in this lineup?
Well, it's the same as your historically great lineups over the last 3 years.
That's right.
But
that's right.
But it also requires it lets up at Carlos Correa, frankly. It lets up at historically it lets up at Carlos Correa.
Why?
Because you haven't had a year. You've had 1 year where Carlos Correa has been a killer. There's been 1 year. With Jose Altuve, we gotta see him. Like, he's got to get it back this year. Alex Bregman has got to get it back this year. That was not the same Breggy last year at the end of the year. It used to be you knew he'd come up in the clutch. Now, that's postseason, and I get it. But it was like, golly, I don't feel good when Bregman's at the plate anymore, which I had never said that.
Well, no, he's going to be different this year. He's going to be better.
So I assume so. We have to see if Jordan.
Well, you got to have bounce back years.
Like, I think there's more.
Yuli's got to have a bounce back
There's year. More questions now than there were 2 years ago.
Yeah. But
let's
let's face it. If these guys come back, Yuli's got to bounce back.
I think there's like four or five guys that you're concerned about.
That's why Yuli is eighth right now.
I actually feel better about Correa. I feel better about Tucker. And I feel fine about Brantley.
If Tucker's seventh, Yuli's eighth, there. I mean, you want to talk about a pitcher looking at this lineup and going, holy crap. And especially if they're hitting. And now, Yuli's got to bounce back. But I don't mind you. And listen. In the seventh inning with two on, your eighth hitter is coming up. What team can go, wow, he may be a guy, Yuli just a couple three years ago was maybe the guy you wanted at the plate most on the team with runners in scoring position late in the game. That's how clutch he was. If Yuli gets back to Yuli, batting eighth?
Well, yeah. No, obviously, we're splitting hairs. I think there's a good chance you're not going to see everything. Remember now, you're also talking about historical offenses. You're talking about them hitting at their very best. There's a decent chance that maybe Michael Brantley or an older player like Yuli, or that you know you may not see those career years from Jose Altuve anymore. He may not be a 200 hit. We were talking about guys who were at peak performance. There's a decent chance that you don't see that with everybody in the lineup. With that still said, it's one of probably the four most dangerous lineups in baseball on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're kind of splitting hairs on this a little bit. You'd much rather have this most other lineups.
If you want to know the truth, my druthers is Straw hitting at the top of the lineup than at the bottom of the lineup. Than being at the bottom of the lineup and Tucker at the top.
Any reason?
Because you're deeper. Because you're that much deeper.
Yeah, but once you get past that first at bat, it's the same. Straw is the leadoff man at nine, you could say.
Yeah, but then you move. Well, Maldonado to eight, which is, I mean, I just think when you're talking about, because Tucker will have Correa and Yordan on base in front of him and Bregman on base in front of him.
I want
Tucker driving the ball with those guys on base.
The entire key is Yordan coming back as a bomber.
Yeah, well,
that's the entire
apparently key. Bregman talked about him and said, holy crap, he looks good again.
Is that the yoked up 30 pounds heavier Bregman?
Yeah. And Bregman looks good again. Yeah. Oh, why are you muscle shaming him?
How's Tucker look?
Oh, you're muscle shaming now.
No, I'm just asking. How's Tucker look?
Tucker looks all bowed up.
He's jacked up.
Like he'll punch you in the face if you talk.
Those
about
boys have been doing some push-ups this offseason.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah,
it is, Dell.
Oh, what do you think?
No,
it was?
What I'm suggesting.
Oh, are
is,
you making some accusations?
Can I finish?
Say it with your chest, Dell.
I am. He won't let me. What I'm suggesting is push-ups aren't the way. That's old school, John. It's science now, not just calisthenics.
Oh, really?
And by science,
ask Herschel Walker about 1,000 push-ups a day.
And he doesn't play baseball.
And sit-ups.
What I'm suggesting is
he did.
There are trainers and science behind them getting stronger. I didn't say anything illicit.
Science.
Not illicit, but science is behind it.
So you believe in science.
DeChambeau, whatever.
Yes. I'm suggesting those guys are doing more than push-ups.
DeChambeau did push-ups. Probably.
Did he?
No.
Pull-ups?
He lifts heavy.
Yeah, I'm sure Bregman's doing that too.
Right. Right,
but a bench press is nothing more than a really heavy push-up.
That's right.
But upside down.
Is that what
trainers say?
Yeah.
Okay. Do an upside down push-up.
913.
What about deadlifts? What's that?
That's a handstand.
It's useless.
It's a handstand. Only standing up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does that work your chest?
No.
Who cares then, bro?
Yeah.
What about your legs?
That's a squat.
If you're going leg day, bro.
That's a squat. Time to talk right now about insurance. You need insurance in case you...
Nope, it's TGS Insurance. Oh. Homeowners insurance has nothing to do with the kind you're talking about. However, if somebody fell off a ladder at your home while they're trying to get something out of a gutter when it's raining, that technically could be your homeowner's insurance that has to pay for that, technically. I didn't make a claim for myself falling off of a roof, but if I had, I'm insured. TGS Insurance. So, one of the things you can do at TGS Insurance is you text the word money to 232323. And what happens is that you get the opportunity to test your insurance payments, the cost of your insurance against competition. And when it's A-rated insurance, which is what you shoot for, which is what you go for, then you know that you've got a chance to really save a lot of money with A-rated insurance against your own company. And this is, you're looking at, and a lot of the companies that you use have huge advertising budgets. Well, what if I told you that you could get the same insurance, but for much, much less by texting the word money to 232323? Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's that time again, ESPN 97.5's third annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade, supported by Seaforce Water and Dr. Linville with Hair Specialist Houston. We'll be giving prizes to 97.5 winners. Yep, the 0.5 winner is the penultimate winner, second to last in the whole bracket. And did we mention this is all free? Prizes include $50 gift cards to Rooster's Men Grooming, the Burger Joint, Chewy's Fine Tex-Mex, Smashburger, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com to register now. It's Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. Bubbly, bold, packed with lemonade flavor.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Ranking NBA teams by most and least watchable. What's the most? What team is the most interesting right now in the NBA?
The Nets.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, they are. If the Nets are on, I want to watch them. I want to see.
And they're getting Drummond.
And they're getting Kevin Durant
back.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap.
They're the favorite for the first time. They are the favorite.
They're getting Blake.
No, but there's talk that they're going to also get Drummond.
They can't also get Drummond, no.
Okay.
Oh, no, not getting Drummond.
That's fine.
No.
Somebody's not going to want to join that super team, catch a ring.
Wow. It's just, I thought the Lakers ganged up on everybody this offseason. Holy crap, the Nets are just like, wow. Second most watchable team? I don't know if
does it make James? Are you going to cheer against James now for sure? Now that he's
I don't want
because
him.
Now he's
now I want to see him lose when he's got the best team. Especially want to.
That's
see him.
What I was going to say. Is it's more like now that he's got the Death Star,
right?
I think people are going to cheer against the Nets for that very reason.
Yeah.
When they start adding, when you have stragglers like Blake Griffin try to come over there and catch a ring,
how about
it's easy to cheer against that kind of stuff?
How about that the Lakers are the underdog that you're going to be pulling for? The Lakers, man, I hope that little team can step up and beat the evil empire of the Nets, the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis and all of this stuff that they put together this offseason, which you thought this is the greatest lineup in NBA history. Wait, the Nets are the favorites now. The Sixers are next. I find the Sixers are not that pleasurable to watch. Joel Embiid is like, I know he's great and he's having a great year and everything, but it's just like, it's like it's in slow motion. When he was playing Boogie, it was like, my goodness, this is like.
See, you like new school basketball. Smaller guys, faster guys. Like, shoot it.
I like the 14 Spurs. I like Golden State.
No.
I like that.
Tim Duncan, that high-paced Tim Duncan ball?
No, 14. The one that passed, five passes before they shot.
Joel Embiid?
That was totally sweet.
That's what a Daryl Morey offense does. They move it quick.
No, they don't. Phoenix is fourth. You know what? Everybody likes to watch Devin Booker. Everybody likes that. I mean,
Chris Paul.
I don't like to watch him do stuff. I'm talking about basketball. That's all I like to watch. Utah, they got fifth here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but basically, if you're going to say Utah, I would say Denver, too.
Well, I mean, basically, they're.
That Lakers thing is nonsense, by the way, to have them at two. The Lakers aren't enjoyable to watch.
They don't even care.
The Lakers don't care about the regular season.
No.
They're barely trying.
But they're going to be fun to watch.
But in the playoffs, that's different.
They're still not fun to watch.
They're not fun to watch. No. That's nonsense.
No.
They're a good team.
I think they're probably just ranking the best teams.
Yeah, that's pretty much clear.
They got the Bucks sixth most watchable. Portland after that. Portland's fun to watch because of Dame. I mean, Dame could pull up anywhere. They did a thing this morning on ESPN of Steph and Dame pulling up at the half-court line and shooting. Like, they're just jump shots. That's all. Denver. I think Denver is more watchable than they're giving them credit for here, eighth.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the reasons is actually because of Jokic.
And Murray.
Well, yeah, Murray's a great player. But Jokic is, anytime you have, number one, he's kind of like clowny in a way, and not like Jadeveon, but kind of like a clown of basketball. But one of the things that makes him watchable is because he doesn't look like he fits. It's like, this is weird. What I'm seeing is weird. Here's a guy with literally no muscular definition in his arms or chest. He can do everything. Score, shoot, rebound, pass.
Bring the ball up.
It's kind of like watching Sabonis make passes when he was like the Sabonis who couldn't move anymore with the Portland Trailblazers. It was weird. He's a unicorn. This guy is a unicorn that's almost back to the late 70s or something. Jokic, that's what makes them kind of that's one of the things I think is appealing is you don't see guys who look like that. It's easy to see guys who hang on to the ball a long time. Now, the Rockets with James obviously would have been low on the list, and I'm assuming this Rockets team is very low on the list. My guess is if you don't pick up the pace, I will be off the show by the time you get to the Rockets. Because if we're going from the top to the bottom, my guess is we might hit that the last break.
Yeah, we'll be close to 9:59, where Dell presses the button. The Pelicans are next. The Warriors. I think the Warriors got to be higher. Anytime Steph Curry's on the floor, you got to watch the game.
Yeah,
they're so watchable. The Heat are 11th. Dell, you agree with that?
Jimmy's fun to watch. They move the ball. They get stagnant sometimes, but yeah, Jimmy's always going to provide. And
what number are they?
They're 11.
Lower.
You're just a hater. That's all you are.
Cheer for racist. Okay,
he doesn't play.
The Clippers are next.
Oh, I saw him play last year.
I don't know.
He doesn't play anymore.
I don't know that the Clippers are must. I mean, when
no,
the Celtics.
Kawhi Leonard's
I like
not
to watch the Celtics. Hey, Charlotte is up there at 14th.
LaMelo.
Listen, LaMelo is fun. He's actually fun to watch.
He's minus 800 right now for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. The Mavs. I mean, I like Luka, but there's what else do you watch with them? Raptors, Hawks. Trae Young is fun to watch. The Knicks are it's unbelievable where they are right now.
Thanks to an actual coach.
And well, yeah, and Julius Randle. But that's he's not fun to watch. Ja is fun to watch. The Spurs are not fun. The Bulls are way low. They got the Bulls. I went to the game the Bulls played the Rockets here. That team moves the ball. That team's got a great offense. That team is a lot more fun to watch than 22nd. And your Rockets came in out of 30 teams, Lance?
29?
28th. Orlando is 29th, and Detroit is 30th.
Wow, where'd Minnesota end up?
Minnesota is right ahead of the Rockets at 27th.
Yeah. So in other words, the worst teams are the four worst.
Well, I mean, there's nothing
Orlando's
to watch.
Not.
There's actually nothing to watch, though. I mean, what do you
know?
John Wall? I mean, if Christian, well,
right now,
this is without Christian Wood.
Right now, there is literally nothing to care about. No offense, Rockets, and that's fine. I want y'all to be bad, but Jay Sean Tate, are you tuning in for Jay Sean?
Well,
would you like to see how PJ Tucker, like I said, PJ Tucker's like watching Shane Battier when there was no Yao or Tracy, like, oh, this is disgusting. This is terrible.
Did you see the story that Minnesota offered a first rounder for PJ? And the Rockets turned it down?
Nope. I'm not looking at any stories like that.
Yep. That's a true...
That's not a true story.
Dell.
It's on the rundown.
A first-round pick for P.J. Tucker.
But the Rockets want a young player. Of course, you could draft a young player with the first-round pick.
Back in 2017.
A long time ago.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, we already knew that. Remember when our guy... Skip, when Ray Ferguson told us they wanted to get their hands on P.J. Tucker.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at it. Back during the NBA's abbreviated offseason period in November, Rosas apparently called up his coworkers in Houston and offered a late 2020 first-round pick for Tucker. So they offered it before...
To Daryl.
This season.
Wait, to Daryl?
A late 2020 first-round pick. So it would have been this past draft.
Oh, no. Daryl was
I'm looking at... The veteran big man was acquired by the Rockets when Gerson Rosas was in the front. He had fans in Minnesota in free agency back in 2017 when he ultimately...
Yeah.
Well, they made a four-year deal with the Rockets.
They wanted him then, but they also tried to get him before season.
Remember the Wolves kind of dropped out with number 1 and 17. Oh, that's right. What they said was that they were going to give the Rockets a late first-round pick. Now, the Wolves did all kinds of maneuvering in this draft. They were number 1 and 17. They picked up Anthony Edwards with the number 1 pick. They had 17. They traded 17 Oklahoma City and James Johnson. They got the 25th and 28th picks. They would have taken PJ for like the 28th pick.
Yeah, and the Rockets said, nah.
They wish they had that now?
Probably. What is this because they thought, you know, James and John Wall were going or Russ was still going to be here? So that's why they didn't do it? What's the timeline for that? Because James said I wanted out like right before, a couple weeks before the season started, right?
Right.
So I think they thought they would still had a contender until those guys said no, right?
The whole Russ and James thing was well known before.
That's why I was asking about the timeline.
The Russ and James thing was well known before the draft.
Because the NBA draft was November 19th. So, and the season started right before Christmas, right?
Right.
So
James was pulling his stuff right at start of training camp. He didn't even show up for camp or on time, remember?
That's right.
It started at the beginning of December 1st.
Training camp, right?
Yeah.
So they had, but so I guess he
It
did,
was about the same time.
Yeah, so I guess he hadn't expressed clearly that he wanted out. So I guess they thought they had a team that could do something and they didn't want to trade one of their veterans. Mistake.
Plus, you know, PJ, the way he's carrying the team right now.
To losses, which is what you guys want.
That's right. I'm okay with keeping him. That 28th pick, what would it have been?
Well, who knows?
I don't know. But
could have been a young player.
Okay, is it going to be worth the number 1 overall pick? No.
Well, you think that 28th overall pick would have helped them win games?
Yeah. Much more than PJ is.
Let's see who was drafted then. Let's see who was drafted and see who was if that person would have been playing for the Rockets and helping the team.
Okay.
At 28th overall.
2020 NBA draft.
The 28th pick overall was the Lakers traded Jaden McDaniels officially to the Timberwolves. So it would have been Jaden McDaniels. And let's see what Jaden McDaniels is doing and see if he would have been helping the Rockets win games. If he's got PJ numbers, 5.1 points, 3.4 rebounds. Those are PJ numbers.
Well, and look, he was traded to the Timberwolves, right?
Yes.
Which is exactly where PJ would be.
That's what I'm saying. And the Rockets would have had Jaden McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's putting up PJ-like numbers.
Yeah, but they could have. Now, you don't know that they would have taken Jaden
McDaniels. Yeah, I don't, but I'm just telling you what the 28th pick
is. They might have taken Malachi Flynn.
And he's like a back, maybe the third string point guard for the Raptors right now, I think.
So, I mean, look at that. What, I mean, you don't know. He might be dominating with the Rockets right now.
Okay.
You don't want to take that chance.
The guy who's averaging 2.2 points and 1.1 assists, dominating for the Rockets?
Yeah, he might be. Hey, listen, if Vernon Hargreaves is starting here.
What does that mean?
And Phillip Gaines is starting
Are they
here,
dominating for the Texans?
Yeah. Okay.
I think it points out if the Rockets had traded that for a first rounder, traded P.J. Tucker for a first rounder, that first rounder could have contributed to losing just like P.J. Tucker is.
Look. Anything that involved getting a first rounder this year before the season started for PJ Tucker that wasn't taken was a miss. There's no way around it.
Well, but again, you didn't know James was gone at that time. Yeah. I mean, he's better with James.
So what?
Yeah. No. Well, and again,
you still had to
what
get
would
young.
You Jaden McDaniels, Malachi Flynn.
You didn't know that you had. You and I talked about this. Everyone knew. Daryl knew. You knew. I knew. They had hit the. That was it.
Yeah.
The chance to win was over.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that you didn't know James is gone. P.J. Tucker had to go for a first.
9:30 ESPN 97.5. Oh, a PD call on the other side. Well, that's worth sticking around for.
You better get HR and P on the show in case you get in trouble for that.
Listen, I'm probably going to get in trouble, but you know what we've got? We've got HR and P here to bail me out. Well, not really bail me out. To actually discipline me after. And so far, HR and P, they're on. I'm sure that they've got somebody right by the HR and P phone. Hello? Is this about Granado? Hello? You're calling about Granado? I'm sure that's how they answer the phone. But the answer is this. No. Because, listen, but we've had to make HR calls to them before. And you will, too, if you have issues with any employees. Now, your payroll? Perfect. Perfect every single time. And it's so much easier than you doing it yourself or paying someone to do it. You're wasting man hours. If you're a business that has 15 to 20 employees, get with HR&P and let them do this at a much more economical rate. And then there's the taxation, the taxes that they go through, the Affordable Care Act that they take care of. They'll help you pick, although you get to select your own benefits packages, 401k, everything else. They're the best. You will love them. We love them here. If you have any questions, call up here and ask for Laura, and she will tell you all about HR&P. We love them. So give them a call, 281-880-6525 or hrp.net.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:34 ESPN 97.5. We promised it, and we shall deliver. PD is on the line. This is always interesting. More interesting, PD call or Gilbert call?
Really depends on the day.
Yeah, it really does. If Gilbert brings energy, PD always brings energy. What's up, PD?
Hey, last night I was doing some thinking, and you got to leave it up the old PD, the sleuth maestro. Nobody thought of this. When do they start filming the HEB commercials? Huh? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's been out there. The HEB, What's he talking about, actually? When
do they start? Because of the pandemic, they haven't been able to film them?
No.
What?
The quarterback. He's always in it. Remember last year he was selling H-E-B
stuff?
Wait,
are you saying that there may be an H-E-B jinx? Or a curse?
Oh, yeah, there's a big curse. But
no one has come
really
up with that.
He's going to hold out.
PD has. Did you hear that? PD has figured something out.
Well, no. What he's asking is Deshaun going to be in the commercials this year?
Yeah.
Sure,
nobody else thought of it.
Yeah, that's what he. So now, if he is in the commercials, he'll be here. If he's not in the commercials, then he won't.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to be in the commercials.
Oh, I don't know. They've got commercials from last year already shot.
Is HEB. They're not going to run Deshaun's stuff.
No, they're probably
not. Of course, they paid Deshaun. Yeah,
they did pay Deshaun.
They could be like, look, Deshaun, we don't care if you like it or not. We're putting you in these HEB commercials, and he's going to say, I don't want
PD's
my legs
still
to
talking.
Be broken.
Hold on. What's up, PD?
Nobody else thought of that. I thought of it. It's an original thought out of my brain.
Okay, let me ask you a question, though, PD. How high were you last night?
That was involved. It was Taco Tuesday. It was a complete accident. And I was doing some ball games, and I said, wait a second. Where did I buy this stuff? H-E-B.
Bought your bong? You bought your weed at H-E-B?
No. The meat.
No.
The meat.
Oh, the meat.
Hamburger.
Okay.
That's cilantro there, but not. PD, what was the accident? You said it was a total accident. What was the accident? That Taco Tuesday?
Came up with this great thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just kind of came up. Like Taco Tuesday wasn't an accident for you?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
You meant to do that.
Did you start Taco Tuesday because of LeBron?
No.
No?
I didn't start Taco Tuesday. It just was an accident. Right in the middle of it. Actually, some girl, I was talking to her. She goes, you do Taco Tuesday? And I went, yeah. But it was a complete accident.
Euphemism when she asked you that, or did you think it was a euphemism, or she meant actually having tacos on Tuesdays?
She meant that. She's a Mexican girl.
Well, of course then, I guess.
So she meant tacos on Tuesday. Lady. She didn't mean anything like...
No, he just happened to be having tacos on a Tuesday. It wasn't a special
so it was
thing
an
for
accident.
Him.
Yeah.
It was an accident, yes. He
that's
said that.
That's what I thought. That's what he meant by an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's more... Who?
Mark the tape. Just mark the tape.
Mm-hmm.
This will go down as infamy.
This will go down as infamy.
This best call, man. This was the... No other callers thought of it. I thought of it on my own.
Can I ask you two something? Not necessarily PD. Who's more intelligible, PD or Gilbert?
It's
PD.
PD is
you
more intelligible.
So?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a scale. I mean, there's a...
How close is the battle?
It's closer than people would think.
It's a pretty good. It's Ali and Frazier.
Because when Gilbert suggests a trade that's maybe a little out of bounds, but there is some kind of thinking behind it. Is that any different than what PD just did?
PD came up with something that no one else had thought of. It's an original thought. You could basically hear he wanted to trademark his thought. Is basically what he was saying is I marked this down. I came up with this. This is an original. He accidentally had Taco Tuesday is what we found out because he was having tacos. It was a Tuesday. We also found out there was a Mexican girl involved originally who wanted him to have tacos on Tuesday. I asked if there was a euphemism for taco on Tuesday meant something else sexual. It didn't. It just meant tacos.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things we learned today. Deshaun Watson, maybe this is a whole big setup, and if he comes back and shoots a commercial – then, and I'm not sure if they would have him in the can already because he stopped shooting in March of last year. I mean, they've got old ones.
Well, they
but,
got
you know,
old ones.
But the old ones were with, remember when DeAndre Hopkins was trying to catch a fly? Oh,
yeah,
no.
But they
last
got Justin
year.
Reed. Those yeah, singing. Terrible. Rapping. You still got rapping Reed. Yeah.
Where do you guys fall in the whoop? There it is. Ice cream commercial. Well, I don't know. Is it an insurance commercial?
That's Geico.
Yeah, it's Geico where they're doing the chocolate sauce. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, yeah.
I've heard some people who hate it.
Everybody's having a good time dancing. That's what I like. Yeah. But yeah, no, they can use Deshaun. Let's see.
Like the ice cream scoop where the dad goes, and he pops his head and the ice cream scoop at the same time.
Well, I like when the dad joins. All of a sudden, he
dad brings more energy to it.
Yeah, he does.
Mom's just kind of doing mom stuff. The dad's
then
like,
they start to kick.
Yeah, they did the kid and play stuff.
Yeah.
Shaka-laka. Yo, what did you think about that commercial? Are you okay with that commercial?
What do you think?
It's a depiction of the African-American family society as it pertains to...
Well, Dell was the daughter that stormed off disgusted.
Yeah, as it pertains to an insurance commercial.
I didn't really
with
think...
With a 90s hip-hop group in the kitchen.
I didn't think much of it. I didn't think... In terms of... I didn't really get into how it might portray certain aspects of society. Oh, look at that dumb commercial. Okay, change the channel. Okay.
I think you say that most.
No, I think you.
Well, I say that about a lot of commercials.
There it is, guy, or not?
Well, yeah, when I was a kid, it was a popular song.
The only time you see that commercial is either sports or when it's a YouTube video where it's on the front of a YouTube
video. No, I have ad blockers, so I don't even see it then.
Ooh, that's not what we like here on the show, ad blockers.
Huh. But I also don't have TV. I don't have an actual pay-for-TV service right now, so I'm not seeing any commercials.
Yeah. Oh, you know?
No.
No commercials at all?
Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, but no actual live TV service for me right now.
So you can't watch CBS Sports?
I can find ways to watch stuff.
Oh, lying and cheating.
Okay. I'm not lying about it.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
I'm not lying.
Yeah, stealing is better.
That's the word you should be using, not lying.
Yeah, you're lying about being a good person.
I've never said I was a good person. I just said I'm better than you two.
Oh, no.
I never said I was good.
All right, when we come back, you don't want to miss Dell's goodbye to Lance, because that comes at the end.
Are we teasing that now?
You don't tease that. Terrible.
The way, if you've never heard how Dell says goodbye to Lance at the end of this segment, you don't want to miss it.
But first,
I want to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. Listen, if you're looking for a great way to fix that home, I don't know. I hate that people have had issues that the ceilings were caving in, all of this stuff that happened during the Arctic blast. It was just terrible. But it may be difficult for you to find somebody to fix it all, a remodeler, a contractor, somebody that can get this work done for you, somebody that can get your life back to normal. And that's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. Get your life back to normal. What he does is he makes it better. He improves the value of your home, be it, you know, that pipes that ruined everything, or just putting in a beautiful outdoor kitchen that is second to none with all of the latest brick and technology and everything else. You can have it wonderful out there for you this summer, and he'll have it done by this summer. But you got to call now. Let's get the construction going and improve the value of that house or business. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Guys, car. What are you driving? We just say car, right? Well, you're driving a car. What kind of car? It's a pickup truck. No, actually, pickup truck, you say pickup truck. Now, a lot of times with car, people talk about SUV. They talk about the crossover vehicles. Crossovers have become such a monster in the market. You can go into any, you know, parking lot of a sporting event, a grocery store, whatever, and see how many crossover vehicles there are. There are also, it seems like, less and less colors of cars, right? White, gray, silver, black, and some point in between. But that's a different conversation. But I do want to mention there are different types of vehicles for you to get. There are different amenities, different colors. There's a good selection over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And if you are looking for the crossover vehicle, the one that's so big in the market, that's what you can find with the Buick Enclave or maybe the GMC Acadia or even the Chevy Traverse. These are three of the big boys, and they are all fantastic. They're very reasonably priced, and they have all the amenities you could possibly want. And I'm telling you now, when it comes to dealer cash back and the special options they have, financing options, you can't beat Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Go to LanceZCars.com to see the entire inventory.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy. Find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. Big controversy in golf going on. The Players' Championship this week. Are you guys excited about it? Have you picked your fantasy team yet on it?
We usually do ours on Thursday.
Well, Thursday the tournament starts.
We do it early in the morning. We get up at 5 and usually
do 5 in the morning. About 5 in the morning. Well, I got to turn mine in today. So I've got – this is my team. And you tell me. Okay, so
– Tell, start.
Tell me in any way, shape, or form.
Market now for worst radio in history. Storm market right now. Ready?
Tell me that I'm racist in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
On my team, Sung Jae Im, Siwoo Kim, Hideki Matsuyama.
Racist. Go ahead.
And Colin Morikawa. All on my team.
So you just picked 4 Asian golfers.
Well, no, I got 7. I got Dustin Johnson as well. I'm going to pick Rory. Anyone who accuses me of not being part of the culture?
What culture is this?
Asian culture.
Asian? So did I not live in the community? Yes.
No, you lived in the community.
He had a neighbor who was Asian.
Who was a neighbor.
Ping, pong,
so I must live in the Danish community because one of my neighbors is Danish. At least they put the flag on their car.
Well, are you down with the cause or not? I was down with the cause.
What cause are you down with?
Which cause are you down with?
Oh, okay. When you're a bordering state, okay?
You're not a state. You're a neighbor.
Okay. I was a bordering state.
No, you aren't.
To the Chinese community.
You were not.
And did we not have peaceful relations?
You just lived in
a peaceful community. And there happened to be an Asian family who was your neighbor.
Right.
You weren't.
Thank you.
You weren't a
state. Did they ever come to your house? No.
I don't.
Came to mind.
Well, we didn't live in the same neighborhood.
To tell you to turn something down.
Are you part of the Danish community? No. You don't care about him. You don't care about anybody.
Who said it was a him?
Oh, it's a Danish woman?
Yes, those exist. Those actually exist.
Wait a minute. A Nordic woman living near Tell? What's Granny think about this?
That is Granny.
Did she ever
Granny?
Yeah.
Does she ever do stuff like in Midsommar where she tries to put stuff in your drink?
No, she hasn't done that yet. That
you know of.
Creepy ass movie.
It made you feel kind of. That's the creep. Have you seen Midsommar, John?
The Florence
Pugh. MIDSOMMAR.
It's on Amazon, I think. Or Hulu.
It's worth watching. It's you don't have to. Like, it's in English.
Oh, yeah?
Now, the subtitles will come on a few times, but they go to, where do they go?
They go to Sweden.
They go to Sweden to this, it's to a festival. I'm not going to give it away. They just go to, like, a festival.
Oh, a nice festival.
Called Midsommar. It's Midsommar, right?
Yeah.
And the light stays on the whole time. It's like, it almost never gets dark.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, okay.
So, it's just a festival, and this girl goes with her boyfriend and his friends. Mm-hmm. And then a festival ensues and things happen. And it gets a little bit dark and a little bit
A little
creepy.
Bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't want to give anything away. I'll show you a trailer during the break. We'll see what you think.
That may be a little too much.
Everyone who sees it definitely will remember it for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. And they will comment on it at
and
some
I
point.
Don't think you actually want to watch it again.
No. It's a one and done.
It is.
It's worth seeing. But there are not things in other movies that happens in this movie.
Okay, I want to see it.
I will say that this was one of the most unique movies that I saw last year.
Yes,
really?
It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Easily.
And it's Amazon Prime. You can watch it currently.
Oh, it's on Prime right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I got to see this. But that's after...
Well, you might feel differently.
After Dell signs off with you.
Well,
no,
that's
Del
in
knows.
Minutes, though.
See, when this is the picture, it's just a girl with like a crown of roses and she's crying.
You'll recognize her face, Florence Pugh.
Mm-hmm. What has she been in?
She's been in she was in the Little Women movie. She was in that wrestling movie.
I didn't
see it, but you recognize her face.
Hey, okay. Tell me where the Native American woman who's coming to season two?
Banshee? Where'd I knew
she
Banshee come? Was gonna come up
where'd
this show.
Where'd she come from? Okay. Well, wait until
Mark
you see
down
her.
As the-
this is
900th
a really
consecutive show. We're talking about Banshee.
No, this is my show now. We'll be on to something else.
Okay.
Well, I'm only on season 2. It's 4 seasons.
4 seasons.
Maybe happening for
so
a while.
So we got to deal with this for how long? Mm. Shouldn't you be rating
Watch
players?
This. Hot Native American girl Banshee. I bet that, yeah, there she is. John, she's not your type.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Because I'm lying, she is.
Wow. No, I don't like that. She's not.
She's not Wendy.
She doesn't look like Wendy.
Exactly. Thank you.
I don't like that at all.
So, you like that girl?
No. I don't. No.
This is one of the shows that it's best. We're just showing each other pictures of.
It's awesome. I'm sitting here, and I think it's great.
It is great, though. Yeah. The reality is,
you should have played
great,
that your goodbye at the beginning of this.
to get him out of here.
I started it with golf, and then it was great, and then all of a sudden took a nosedive.
Well, you suggested you couldn't be racist because you were saying, oh, call him Arakawa, or whatever you said.
Hideki Matsuyama.
John looking like at a that. Picture of Lily Simmons and then going, oh.
I don't like that at all.
Creepiest thing I've seen.
No one wants to see her in that thong. Stop that. That's ugly.
This is a sports show, gentlemen.
That's what this is all about. Let's talk about Myers Leonard again.
Who's more racist, Lance or Myers Leonard? According to a tweet from earlier,
they started off the show because somebody with 4 followers said that I was racist because of my evaluation of
Justin Fields.
And your lack of evaluation. Now, he true evaluation of Trevor Lawrence.
He did have an Ohio State avatar. So you're racist. What did he comment last year or the year before on your Dwayne Haskins?
No, he's presumably happy with that. Which, by the way, they're about the same.
He just doesn't like you didn't find flaws in Trevor
Lawrence.
Well,
Justin Fields is more athletic.
No. The grades aren't that dissimilar. Yeah. I gave too much credit.
You think he's biased against Ohio State quarterbacks?
He didn't appreciate his lack of unbiased.
Well, I think there's a concern with Ohio State quarterbacks right now. I think there's no question about it. They got to prove that one of those guys has to prove that they can play outside the scheme.
Well, isn't okay.
Did Tim Tebow, could he play outside Urban Meyer's scheme? No.
Well, name all the great Michigan quarterbacks. Oh, that's right. Maybe Tom Brady was good.
No, I'm saying Urban Meyer's scheme.
No, I know. But I'm saying
Urban Meyer,
we can't
one guy,
be biased against Ohio State quarterbacks because who knows who's going to come along.
Because they're Urban Meyer offense. That's what
it's
they're
doing. Quarterback friendly,
it's
right?
It's not unlike when there was a bias against air raid quarterbacks or spread quarterbacks.
Day, not for
it's Urban the same Meyer. Offense. It's the same offense.
There's less quarterback power and run, though, right?
Yeah, there's less direct run. There's plenty
a lot
of zone.
Less.
There's plenty of zone read. But, I mean, for the record, I think Justin Fields is easily the best, the most talented quarterback to come out of there. Braxton Miller wasn't a quarterback.
No.
JT Barrett wasn't a legit,
no.
You know, who's a day three guy at best. Troy Smith was just okay. You know, they crank up some numbers in that offense. This is the best. Dwayne Haskins hurt the program's perception from a quarterback standpoint. Cardale Jones, you could say, one-year wonder. Dwayne Haskins, one-year wonder, but 50 touchdowns. Like, wow, that's a lot. But that's emotional. He's emotionally immature. Now, I don't know if it's all a football thing as much as he's immature.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready to be you know what I mean? Like a leader. So you do have to take that into account, too. Oh, Ohio State bust. Well, that's because he's immature. And wasn't, you know, and just wasn't prepared with 1 year under his belt. Justin Fields has 2 years under his belt, which is a big deal. I've seen him play in high-leverage games. I saw him get hurt and come back out and play equally as good in the second half, injured against Clemson. I saw him overcome some adversity this year when he wasn't playing well and then came out and had a big game, you know, had a better second half against Northwestern and then a big game in the playoffs. There's a lot of reasons to like Justin Fields better than Haskins. Now, I'm also working off of some hindsight. But see, I'm also on record as saying this quarterback draft doesn't do it for me like it does for other people. I'm not as high on Zach Wilson and Justin Fields and Trey Lance. The guy that excites me is Trey Lance. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is way up here. Lance is the guy that's really, from the traits and the football intelligence and all that stuff, that's a guy that I think, man, he's got a chance. Zach Wilson, I think, is... And people will really fight you on that one. There's some NFL people who really like Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson has a chance to be really good, but I also think his floor is lower. And I can't get the 2019 tape out of my head. He made such bad decisions, and then he went up against a bunch of slappies this year and had open throws that he refused to take because he kept trying to just shoot it downfield for one-on-one jump balls. Like, that just irritated me.
Yeah. Well, he had better players. Sometimes you, when you got the what does Tom Brady do when he's got an advantage at receiver? He throws it to that guy. You know, because the guy that's covering him, he has an advantage against. Oh, so you hate Tom Brady too? Okay.
Did you just compare Zach Wilson to Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's what I did. Okay.
Do you love Zach Wilson as much as Lance hates Justin Fields? Because Lance's hate for Justin Fields is really strong.
Right.
Do you think you love Zach Wilson as much?
No, I can't love.
I don't hate
I
Justin
can't love
Fields.
Anyone as
not
much as Lance
to that
hates.
I don't hate Justin Fields. Fields.
I can't love that anyone that much. It's impossible.
Yeah. I don't even care about the show. I'm on Odette Annabelle now.
The depth of Lance's hate for Justin Fields is boundless.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
I don't care what you guys have to say as long as I'm on the Odette.
Do you care
Odette
about
Annabelle?
Do you care about this?
Bye, what? Bitch.
Bamboo. I was going to ask you, what do you think about Landon Dickerson as their 67th pick, the Texans?
No chance he makes that far.
He's not going to.
And they got Justin Britt. They're solid at center.
Yeah, that's right. They're done.
If they got Landon Dickerson, I would jump for joy.
But they already got Justin Britt.
The only negative is, okay, he's coming off a knee injury, and he's been injured a lot. Like, he was injured. He was at Florida State. He couldn't stay healthy at Florida State. He went to Alabama, and now he gets injured again. There's a big concern about whether or not he can stay
healthy. My concern is how big he got. When he left Florida State, he was like a normal size center. Got to Alabama, he's
a better
like
weight program.
He's like, well, yeah. He's the Hulk.
That's what they fed him
all day long. You can't people can't
they
do push-ups
him.
And lift
Liddell.
Weights.
Oh, he's shaking his head. You think that there's something else going on at
people
Alabama?
Can't lift
but
weights.
My players are getting bigger.
All I'm saying is,
are you going to make an accusation?
Landon Dickerson was a normal size offensive lineman. All of a sudden, he got to Alabama, and he's a giant. Just saying. Oh, look, the Hulk juice. Are you drinking Hulk juice, Landon Dickerson?
Wow.
Hulk juice.
What about it?
They have a Hulk at the Smoothie King.
What about
they
Elijah Moore at 110 overall?
Ooh, I love Elijah Moore. I have a first-round grade on him. He won't go into first. If Elijah Moore, he'll go into second, I think. If Elijah Moore were a Texan, that'd be amazing.
They got him as the second selection in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Jack ain't taking him.
Who said this?
This is from NFL.com.
Your people.
Chad
Reeder.
Reeder.
Sorry, Chad's going to figure it out.
And then they got Chuba Hubbard at 123rd over.
Jack ain't taking Elijah Moore. He did that whole pee thing. Jack ain't in on that.
No, but he's very religious.
Is he?
Yes. Yes, that's why the pee thing was out of his nature. No, go look at Elijah Moore. Elijah, that's probably
that's
a religious
true.
Thing.
That's true.
Elijah that sounds like
very Old
and
Testament.
Then he begat it Elijah, is. And he begat,
yeah.
You know, Jadavion. He die, begat,
yeah.
Elijah yep. begat yeah. and begat.
If you go look at his, I remember looking at his Twitter because I always look at players' Twitter.
Saul, there's a Saul in there.
He's got
somewhere.
He's got a Psalm or something Does like
he
ha- that
is,
in the bio.
Is he kind of a Pavlov's dog when he sees a fire hydrant? Though, are we gonna have to worry about that?
No, no. As long as he's scoring touchdowns, don't I don't care.
From who? Who's he catching passes from?
I hope he lifts his leg a bunch. In the end zone, in the Texans
yeah,
end
right.
zone.
He'll be doing
all over everything.
He'll be doing that for another team.
Hey, man, one fish, two fish, pee fish, poo fish.
Pee fish, Good. Poo fish?
What? Yeah.
Hey, okay. Did you not listen to the instructions?
Bye, bitch.
The music behind it.
Music behind her.
We call that a remix, John.
ESPN 97.5.